What's up, y'all? Welcome to Coffee and Conversations with Coach K. I'm Coach K, and I'm super excited to be here as always. And whether we are joining together collectively as we refocus and recenter our breath and take some time in a breathing meditation, or if we are just chit-chatting about the things that really matter in life, I'm always excited to be here with you. So as we dive into this week's episode, I encourage you to grab you a cup of coffee, find you a comfy seat, and let's just get it going. Hey, y'all. Welcome to Coffee and Conversations with Coach K. I am so happy to be here. Happy Friday. I think this week has been challenging. Honestly, the last couple of weeks have been challenging. So it's really good to get to a day where the weekend is ahead of us, and or for me, I don't know what your weekend looks like, but mine looks a little comfortable and kind of like a cozy blanket in front of a fireplace. That's really not what's happening, but that's what it kind of feels like because it's just been some crazy few weeks. So thanks for joining me today. I am super glad you're here. I'm always glad to be here with you, and thank you for listening and sharing and your awesome feedback. I really appreciate it. And I love what I do. I love this part of what I do. So it doesn't feel like work. I was talking to someone else about this. I responded to a post. That's what it was. I responded to a post. And I was mentioning some of the things that I'm getting to do with nurse coaching and how I enjoy it so much that it doesn't feel like work. So I mean, maybe that's a lesson for somebody else out there. If what you're doing in life right now feels so daunting and so treacherous and horrible, and you really hate it, like you dread every single day that you have to wake up and do what you're doing, then maybe you should evaluate where you are and if that's serving you anymore. And maybe it's time to make a game plan to escape. I don't know. That was an extra tidbit. That's not even what we're talking about today. That's not even in there. So yeah, take that. I won't even charge you. Grab your drink or whatever you're sipping on for this lovely Friday. I didn't have coffee. Surprise. And I'll be able to tell you why in a little bit later. You know, this self-proclaimed coffee addict and coffee lover, for me not to have coffee today says a lot, but I'll explain why later. So grab whatever you're drinking and let's chit chat about something that is truly important and really will really make a big deal, really make a big difference in your life, actually. And something I wholeheartedly believe in. We're going to talk about metabolic syndrome. And this topic crossed my path several times in my podcast listening. I'm a huge fan of Mark Hyman and his podcast, The Pharmacy with an F. I may have mentioned it on this podcast, but if you are not a listener of that and you are serious about your health and your wellness and everything that encompasses, add him to your list of favorites. I should still be number one. Okay. But you can add him too. He has great information, breaks stuff down to a very basic level that anybody can understand. He has just helped open my eyes to a few things that I knew, like in the back of my mind, I knew it. I was like, this just doesn't make sense. So listening to his podcast has been really, really helpful. So add him. But anyways, let's chit chat about metabolic syndrome, shall we? So metabolic syndrome is basically a group of conditions that occur together. And so those group of conditions that happen all at the same time, they just increase your risk of heart disease, type 2 diabetes, and stroke. And if you've listened to my podcast for any length of time, you know that I've mentioned this particular set of diseases several times now for various reasons. One is because it is absolutely killing us in America at a rate that is just ridiculous. There's so many things that you can do to prevent and to cure and to treat those specific illnesses so that we don't have to die from them. And so my heart's mission is to keep saying it over and over and over in many different ways until we get it Because it doesn't have to be that way. You can have and live a life that truly resonates with who you are without you feeling sick, sad, and disgusted. And I'm here to help you do that. So if I say them a million times, that's why. The reason these diseases occur and how it happens is because there's an increase in your blood pressure, so hypertension, an increase in your blood sugar, excess body fat, especially around the waist, and abnormal labs, specifically your cholesterol levels, and triglycerides. Common shape that you'll see with somebody with traditional metabolic disease or metabolic syndrome, it'll be that apple shape. So kind of not regular, but normal-ish up top in the chest area, maybe a little bit bigger. And then in the area, and then towards your pelvic area and in your tummy, it's rounder, much, much rounder than the rest of your body. That is the typical shape that you will see in somebody that is experiencing metabolic syndrome. Whether or not they're diagnosed with it, that is something that you will see. This happens to a third of all Americans. So literally a third of all Americans are suffering from metabolic syndrome. And the reason it happens, the way we get there, is we get overweight, we become obese, and we don't move. And then we choose really awful, sad, horrible foods that do not nurture our bodies and don't feed us the way that they should. One of the big things that came to mind whenever I was doing this research for this particular episode was how we've seen this in several cases and how we've seen this time and time again, over and over and over. And what we've been doing to fix it has not been working. Like, that's probably the most frustrating part. I don't know if you're like me, but to see so many medications that are supposedly the fix and the cure, and for that not to be the case, is extremely frustrating for me. It's extremely frustrating for me because it, like I said initially, doesn't have to be this way. Some of the risk factors that you need to keep in mind for metabolic syndrome include your age. The older you are, the worse it is for you. And that's just the fact of life. But it doesn't have to stay that way. I'm going to keep saying that over and over again because I want you to see the other side. I want you to visualize the other side. I want you to imagine with like your greatest imagination. Go back to your days of being a kid and wanting to be the superhero that you love the most. I was a Mighty Mouse fan. I don't know why, y'all. Probably because I'm a Gen Xer and I grew up and during the time that, you know, we watch TV on Saturday morning with a bowl of cereal. Probably wasn't the best idea, but whatever. And Mighty Mouse, I loved it. It was like, here I come to save the day. Sorry, it's Friday. But that was my jam. That was my thing. Like, I would watch Mighty Mouse and then all the Saved by the Bell that they would give me. Like, that was it. And so take your imagination back to that time when you wanted to be your superhero. Like, just let your imagination flow. Don't limit yourself when it comes to imagining the life that you can have, even right where you are, even in this space of where you occupy. Just don't allow yourself to see that, but give yourself permission to see what else, okay? So that's risk factors. Age, gender, ethnicity. Hispanic women rank very high on the level of people that are at high risk for metabolic syndrome, as well as, and this one breaks my heart because, whew, Black men. We have spent years, you know, just truly in a space that was not, it did not allow for us to heal. It did not allow for us to truly take our health into consideration. Seeing Black men die at the rate that they are from these chronic illnesses, again, is another frustrating thing for me. So what are we doing wrong? And let's fix it. Risk factors, I told you about age, gender, obesity, and obesity. I can leave it there. Other diseases that give you a higher chance of metabolic syndrome include non-alcoholic fatty liver, PCOS, sleep apnea, and gestational diabetes in pregnancy. That is a lot of those are things that, you know, you see quite frequently, and it's just not discussed, especially non-alcoholic fatty liver in kids. And that's another one that tugs at my heartstrings, because my home and my heart is always pediatrics, first and foremost. And to know that, you know, there are kids that are truly suffering from this disease. They are overweight. They are not active. They have asthma. They have these illnesses that have roots in inflammation. And to top it all off, now they've added diabetes. And unfortunately, a lot of it is not being educated on the foods that we should be eating, and then poor access to resources. You know, if you don't have those healthy foods in your neighborhood, you know, because of these food deserts and, you know, not having access to it, then how in the heck are you supposed to know or even have what you need in order for you to survive and live and truly be healthy? It's deeper than that, I'm sure, but that's where I'm stopping on it for today. Let me chit chat a bit about insulin resistance, because this is a hallmark sign of metabolic syndrome. And I'm going to get a little science-y for a second, but I promise we'll be moving on shortly. So insulin resistance happens. So under normal circumstances, y'all, your GI system or your digestive system, the system that breaks down food and all that good jazz, it sits right there in the middle. You know where it's at, in your belly. It breaks down the food that you eat into fuel to be used in lots of different ways. And one of the things that it also breaks down is sugar. Yay! So your sugar is being broken down in your GI system. Something that helps that is insulin. So insulin is a hormone made by the pancreas that helps the sugar go into the cells so it can be used. Okay, say with me. Well, when cells don't respond as they should, the insulin doesn't help. Like, this insulin can't help. And so glucose can't go into the cells. And so your blood sugar levels rise, because if it can't go into the cells, it has to go somewhere else. And typically that's going to be your bloodstream. And your body goes all crazy. And it tries to help by pumping out more insulin. Like, your body's not doing what it's supposed to do, goes crazy. And so your body's like, wait a minute. I got this. Here we go. Here's some more insulin. And bam, insulin just stays in your body, and it has to go somewhere. And if it's not going in the cells, then it's going other places that it should not be. That's how you have to think of metabolic syndrome. This insulin resistance is setting your body on fire, literally. It's a fire that you can't see, but it's going on inside of you. And it literally needs to be cooled off quickly. One little tidbit I wanted to throw in here, just so you're aware and to keep in mind, because we're living in COVID times, y'all. We're living straight up in COVID times. There's a lot of recent data, because we've had this coronavirus out now for more than a year, the specific one. Of course, you and I know that there's lots of different coronaviruses, but this specific one that's been so deadly. There's a lot of recent data that shows that obesity, diabetes, hypertension, and heart failure. Does that sound familiar? I mean, haven't we been talking about that for the last 12 minutes? Yeah. Having those issues put individuals at a significantly increased risk of severe COVID response. Okay. These four conditions are largely lifestyle related, which we've been talking about. So what does that mean exactly? It means that we need to address the standard American diet, again, the super sad diet, as well as our sedentary, overstressed lifestyles, to truly combat the effects of COVID-19. So this leads into my reasoning for delving more into metabolic syndrome, my specific reasoning, and I'm going to share that with you. For years, I feel like I have abused my body. I have done some things that were really, really beneficial, but I've done a lot of other things that were not truly beneficial. I didn't always choose the best foods for the time, and I knew it when I was putting it in my mouth, and I didn't care. And that's what I considered abuse, knowingly doing the things that would truly have harmful effects on my body, my mental health, my physical health, and my spiritual health. I did it because I was stressed, or it felt good at the time, thinking that it would feel good. I abused my body in that way. I would eat things that did not set well with me. If you are in my circle, you've heard me complain about just different GI issues that are avoidable if I stay away from certain foods, but because, ooh wee, that looks so good and everybody else is eating it, I want it too. But I had to take a really good look in the mirror and figure out what was more important and what I needed to do. So I'm gonna tag this article by Mark Hyman in the show notes. So make sure you check those out and check out this article and tell me what you think. But the article talks about cooling down that fire inside of you. And really how I stumbled upon this and said, this is something I need to do was I started feeling bad. I knew I didn't feel good and I had to make some more changes. You know, back in the day when I lost 60 pounds and, you know, kept it off and was doing, you know, the workouts and the gym and all that stuff, I knew that wasn't going to stay. Eventually I was going to have to level up. And so this is my level up and I'm super excited because one, I always love learning about this stuff. I love learning and sharing it with you. And then two, I get to do it for me too. And so hashtag me too. Wait, that doesn't go there. Oops. I really wasn't joking about that. But anyways, I'm excited that I get to do it for myself as well. So we're going to go on a journey together if you'll have me. I read the article and I was like, yeah, this is good. I'm going to do it. So some of the things that I'm going to tell you about from the article, you'll go read it on your own. But the highlights are that metabolic disease that I was talking about, he just reiterated some of the things that are caused by what some of the things that cause metabolic disease. Sugar we eat. Again, there's that insulin resistance. High doses of bad oils and fats in our bodies. Hidden food allergies and infections, lack of exercise, and then chronic stress. I know I'm being a broken record, but I really want you to get it, okay? And so further on in the article, he discusses how if these things, these causes are not truly addressed, you'll never succeed at effective and permanent weight loss. And so when you see your weight creeping back up, like you've done all this stuff that really, really is good for you, and you've gone on this, you know, this walk and you're like, I'm doing it. I'm trying. And then you start introducing the stuff that originally did not work for you in the first place, but you know, things happen, life happens. And then you notice that cycle, that yo-yo cycle that happens, that is what's preventing us from having effective and permanent weight loss. And it's keeping us sad and sick and sad, sick and fat, all of the above, sick and unhealthy. Okay. So I did it. For 1 week, I did an elimination diet. I removed some things from my diet that I felt like was causing inflammation in my body, which is basically what this fire is. Okay. It was a low allergy diet. I removed some things that I knew for me was increased inflammation. I had an allergy test several, many, many years ago. And I knew, y'all are going to laugh, I knew chicken was inflammatory for me. I knew it. I knew chicken was a problem. But honey, when I tell you the way I felt about chicken in any form, baked, roasted, fried, you know, grilled, did not matter. Like I just loved chicken. So it was extremely hard to give up, but I knew every time I ate it, every single time I ate it, chicken fajitas, Chick-fil-A, chicken salad, did not matter. Every time I ate it, I knew I was not doing anything good for myself, but I ate it anyway. So I had to have a talk with me and I had to be real and get brutally honest about it. So in my elimination diet, I removed things that I knew were inflammatory for me, which include chicken, but also some of the suggested things within the article. I didn't have dairy, low gluten, if any. I removed eggs and yeast products. Now, what I was feeling before I had those things, I felt sluggish. I had a lot of brain fog. I was tired a lot. I felt puffy and just overall just like, I can't even, like, frumpy and not well. I had a few aches that just didn't make sense. I felt very dehydrated, even though I felt like I was drinking a lot of water, but it really didn't help things. And I knew that I had to make a change. So one other thing for me that I chose to eliminate based on the research that I did was I took away my coffee. Oh, I know, you feel me, right? I took away my coffee. I thought that, you know, that was one of the things that I saw that could definitely trigger that issue. Coffee has such awesome, wonderful, amazing benefits. But for me, I felt like that was something I needed to also remove. It's acidic. It just doesn't sit well in my body in general, but I loved it. I still do, but I realized that I can't live with it at this time. So I removed it. And let me tell you how that week went. I thought that it would be more difficult than what it was, but it truly was not. And I think the main reason it was like that was because I was determined. So if you are set on something and you know you're going to do it regardless of what it takes and you're determined to get it done, you will do it. And that's how I felt about this elimination diet. I didn't care what it took. I was going to do it. And so I did it. And the first few days I was a little distraught because I missed some of the things that I reached for first thing in the morning out of habit. And so I had to challenge myself and get creative and find something else that would fill that void and just really focus on that. And so throughout the week, I would be really creative about my meals. I'd get some fresh fruits and vegetables and create a really colorful, gorgeous salad that just set well with my body. I made my own dressing, which is really easy whenever you want it to be. Three simple ingredients made the best vinaigrette forever. It was so awesome. I didn't have the brain fog and the mental fatigue that I was having before. I felt less frumpy. I did lose weight. I know that's a big thing, but for me, it went beyond just the weight loss. It truly meant I felt better. And so maybe you're in that situation where you're ready to look at what you're doing and how you can change it. So I hope that this podcast was informational and inspirational for you. I always do look for it to be just that. And if you want to talk more about the elimination diet that I did and to see how you maybe can jump in on it, then send me a message and I'll be more than happy to do a consult with you and help you get started, because we're in this together. We're all in this. Anyways, don't do it, High School Musical. I can't help it. It's Friday. Anyways, I'm probably going to stick with most of the things that I changed during my week of the elimination diet. Will I have mess ups and will I have a few fallbacks? Probably, because I'm human and I'm not perfect, but I'm going to aspire to do the things that I know are going to feed me body, mind, soul, and spirit as often as I possibly can, because I realize that's truly the life that I want to live. And that's what it's all about. So thanks again for listening. Have a happy rest of your Friday or whenever you're listening to this, you know, day or night. Share, please. And thank you. I appreciate your feedback. Please be good. Do good for yourself and live well. Y'all have a good rest of your day. Bye.